soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Blessings. In the past few days, it's come to my attention that many of us students do not have a grasp of some of the healing principles. And so today, I thought, or I felt, perhaps some clarification of some of these principles would help. Now, yesterday, or the day before, I posted something online which explains a little bit, just a little bit, about what's called the middle way. The middle way, of course, should tell you that it's in the middle, not either extreme. If you've taken the time, in fact, I'll go get it. It's in a parenthesis in Eternity. It's in the chapter called Reality and Illusion. Give me a minute here and I'll be right back. Okay, hopefully today's talk will clarify a little bit the terms that we throw around all the time, such as illusion and hypnotism and nothingness. I don't think we really grasp those terms. So I'm going to read a couple pages from Reality and Illusion, and this will give you the understanding of where this, well, it'll give you the foundation, anyway, that you can work with and meditate on and contemplate until you come to where you have a feeling for these terms, illusion, nothingness, hypnotism. I know we throw them around a lot. We look at some, that's nothingness. But that was never their intended use. So let me read this, bear with me, and let's see if we can explain this. So we'll start right here. To understand the illusory nature of the finite world is to grasp the kernel of all mystical teaching. But if it is misunderstood, which it is an awful lot, it can act as a deterrent to progress, as it has in India, which has one of the noblest spiritual heritages of any nation on earth. Now, if you misunderstand what illusion and hypnotism is, it's going to act as a deterrent. And I see this in dozens and dozens of Infinite Way students. And I'm not being critical, and I'm not judging, because I myself have done this. I'm only trying to help now so that we don't spend too long in this misunderstanding. So, it says, perhaps the greatest of all the Indian seers was Gautama the Buddha, whose revelations of absolute truth was so profound that while there are other revelations equal to it, there are none which have surpassed it. Gautama had the full realization of the one ego, the one self, the one I, which constitutes the consciousness of the universe. And he himself understood and proved that the appearance world is Maya, or illusion. Because of its fruitage, his message spread like wildfire across all of India. But his teaching of Maya, M-A-Y-A, Maya, was misinterpreted. It was misinterpreted, and many of us in the infinite way misunderstand this too. That's why we never get any results. We're stuck. The belief that the world is an illusion led to a do-nothing attitude, a passive acceptance of the evil conditions in the world. Now, I understand this. I met a fellow from India, a very good friend. I love this man. And this friend from India had a little drinking problem. And his wife, of course, wanted him to do something about his drinking problem. And when I talked to this man, his attitude was, "What drinking problem? It's an illusion." Now, this drinking problem was causing havoc in his family. And his family did not want to see him drunk. But every time I talked to him, the response was the same. "Oh, don't be silly. This is an illusion. What are you talking about?" You see? And that's exactly what Joel is telling us here. The belief that the world is an illusion led to a do-nothing attitude, a passive acceptance of the evil conditions in the world. Now, this man would tell me, "It's an illusion. What are you talking about? There's no real problem here. You're being fooled," he would tell me. "You know that my real self is God. This is all an illusion, just a play." Well, and so he wouldn't do anything about it at the time. But listen to this. Listen very carefully. Catch this today. The belief that the world is an illusion led to a do-nothing attitude, a passive acceptance of the evil conditions in the world. His followers failed to see that it is not the world that is an illusion. The world is real. The illusion is in the misperception of the eternal, divine, spiritual universe, which is the only universe there is, and which is here, right now. Now, the significance of that should just blow you right out of the water. In our modern language, it should blow your mind. Why? Because Joel is telling us from experience, not because of something he read. He's telling us there's one world. It's a spiritual universe. It's eternal. It's divine. It's the only universe. You're standing in the middle of it. However, you don't see the very universe, the spiritual universe you're standing in, because you're looking through a glass darkly called the five senses or the sense mind. So, the illusion is in the sense mind, looking at a spiritual creation and seeing a make-believe world. Again, point blank, he tells us, the world is real. It's eternal. It's divine. It's spiritual. The illusion is in the sense mind. It's in the mind, but he'll tell us that. So listen. Because of an illusory sense of a spiritual universe, however, the mortal scene appears as mortality, with all of its errors, whereas it is in reality a divine universe. This world is God's world. It is the temple of the living God. He's telling you from experience, from his inner vision, what he has seen, which is the same thing that Gautama saw, and the same thing that Jesus saw, which is why all three of these could heal. because they understood that the illusion is not a world, that the illusion is a perception. And so they stopped trying to heal. They stopped trying to improve. They understood that they would have to turn away from the sense perception so that God could reveal the truth, so that they could experience and glimpse the spiritual universe. But we'll get into more of that. So, because of an illusory sense of the universe, however, the mortal scene appears as mortality with all its errors, whereas it is in reality a divine universe. This world is God's world. It is the temple of the living God. You're standing in the living God. But when we see it with finite eyes and ears, what we see and hear is but the illusory picture about the reality that is really there. The illusion is in the mind that's falsely seeing a spiritual world. The illusion is never, never out in the world. An illusion can never be externalized. An illusion is a deceptive state of thought, and it can take place only within a person's mind, never outside of it. You understand that? Do you hear that? That's about, that paragraph right there is something that I studied and studied and still do, because it has the entire secret of the infinite way. And I'm not kidding. It has the entire secret of the healing principle. It has the entire secret of the kingdom of heaven in your midst. Every time you have thought or you think, that's an illusion out there, that car crash I just saw, that's an illusion, you are mistaken. You are looking at the temple of the living God. However, the sense mind is showing you a picture, a mental image, or a series of mental images in your human mind of a car crash. The illusion is not out in the temple of the living God. The illusion is in the mental images being projected in your mind. Just like receiving a radio broadcast, you're receiving these mental images rapidly. If you could live in such a high state of consciousness when these mental images started, you could say, nope, I'm not accepting that. Now, Father, what's really here? And if you were so still that you could hear the Father say, I am the life, then when you opened your eyes, you would see that I as the life. And the people would get up and walk away. You would dissolve the belief in a car crash. The same as Jesus was able to say, Lazarus, come forth. I'm not accepting these pictures being projected. I know there's only my Father's life out there. I know there's only one life. But we don't do that, do we? We react in a human way. Oh my God. Oh my God. Now that expression right there shows you that you have become hypnotized, enthralled. Like watching, do you ever watch a movie in the movie theater and it touches you deeply and tears come to your eyes? That's a form of hypnotism. There's nothing real going on. You're watching a story somebody made up. Actors. Well, when you see something, when the sense mind shows you these pictures of something horrible, and you react, oh my God, how terrible. You are hypnotized, totally focused, zoned in on the mental images and totally enthralled with it. It's bringing tears to your eyes or shock to you. All the while standing in a spiritual universe. You must understand that if you are hypnotized like that, then you're hypnotized by the illusory images. And there's really no hope unless a practitioner comes along that's not hypnotized. However, we get into the infinite way and we think we understand, but we don't. We have the same misunderstanding that many of the followers of Gautama had after he left, and there was no one else to explain it or demonstrate it. Then they picked up the writings or word of mouth stories they heard, and we do the same thing. We read a little bit in the infinite way and hear a few talks, and we say, oh, it's an illusion. That tree out there is an illusion. It's not really there. Maybe we take the same attitude as that friend of mine and we say, well, it's all an illusion anyway, and giggle about it as we suffer from whatever our particular disease or lack or limitation is. No, it is not an illusion. It that you're looking at out there is a spiritual universe, but you're not seeing it. You're looking through the real illusion, which are the concepts in your mind. So let's read a little more. Let's see if we can bring it even clearer. The illusion is in the mind that is falsely seeing the world. The illusion is never out in the world. An illusion can never be externalized. An illusion is a deceptive state of thought, and it can take place only within a person's mind, never outside of it. With our human eyesight, we see a world constantly changing. A world made up of young, middle-aged, and old people, of the sick and the well, the poor and the rich, the unhappy and the happy. But all of this is an illusory picture in the human mind. But because there is only one human mind, what? Yeah, I underlined that. What? Because there is only one human mind, it's an illusory picture in your mind and mine. Such a world has no externalized existence. Gosh, I don't know about you. These two paragraphs here are just wowzers. They're like, whoa. Wait a minute, huh? What? He just told us there's an illusory picture in the mind. Okay, we can grasp that. We can grasp the fact that, okay, I'm standing in a spiritual universe. I'm seeing instead all these mental images in the mind. Somehow I need to wake up out of that in order to see the spiritual universe. Yeah, we can grasp that. But then he throws this in here and says, the illusory picture is in the human mind, but because there is only one human mind. What? Yeah. There's only one human mind because the human mind is the world mind. It's the carnal mind. You've been thinking of some carnal mind out there. Yeah. Well, all the time it's sitting right real close. It's the human mind. There's only one human mind because that is the world mind. That is the carnal mind. And so because there's only one human mind, the illusory picture is in your mind and mine at the same time. But the world that that mind is showing you has no externalized existence. I don't know about you, but that just kind of shocks me. It makes me stop. The first time I read it, I thought, why, wait a minute. I'm 30, 40 years old at the time, and I've never lived anywhere but in a world that has no external existence. I've been living in, yes, an illusory mind. It's like the criminally insane, isn't it? Someone that thinks they're Napoleon, or someone that thinks they're Jesus, walking around, actually believes they're Jesus or Napoleon. We laugh about it. Well, they're funny. They need to be locked up, whatever. Give them medication. You're one of them, my friend. You're one of them. I'm one of them. Living an entire lifetime in a world that has no externalized existence. Now, doesn't that just blow you out of the water? I mean, look at it. Look deeply at it. What does that mean? There's only one human mind, which is the world mind. And I've lived my entire life listening, looking, seeing its pictures in a world that has no externalized existence. Now look a little deeper. Everyone I've met existing in that world mind, all the many thousands of personalities, have no externalized existence. Well, wait a minute, what about me? Yeah. My personal life has no externalized existence. Yeah. Now, to awaken from that is what we're being asked to do. And you know you can't awaken yourself. Something else has to happen. But let's continue here. We are aware of the world through our senses. But what the senses cognize, what they see, is illusion. An illusion not outside the mind, but in it. To be able to understand and grasp this idea, therefore, is also to be able to grasp the idea that this illusion cannot be corrected in the outer picture. That is why so much prayer fails. Now we're getting down to it. This middle way. Through prayer, people are trying to improve the illusion, which if they succeeded in doing, would still be an illusion, except it would be a good illusion instead of a bad one. You see that? All the prayers and metaphysical treatments and everything that you've ever applied trying to improve a problem that's appearing out here is not a problem out here. You're simply trying to make your sense perception a good sense perception. But you're still, even if you succeed, standing in the illusion in your mind. You've never left the world mind. You've never left it. Do you remember Joel saying, we've all come under the law just by virtue of being born? Sure. Now I have another secret for you. When we say to you, you have never been born, we're speaking the truth. There's a you that stands outside the mental image, the sense perception, the world mind, and has never entered into it. Never. Therefore, the spiritual journey does not take place in time or space. The spiritual journey is not going anywhere. The spiritual journey is waking up out of the sense mind pictures, coming into the awareness, the actual feel of your eternal self, which has never entered this mental world. But anyway, back to the book here. God is not in this world, contrary to the doctrine of pantheism, which teaches that this world is a manifestation of God, that God transforms himself into the world, so that God and the world are the same substance, though the form is different. But that's not true. If that were true, and if the world really were a manifestation of God, and made of the substance of God, it would be eternal, and there would be no changing processes going on. There would be no aging, no dying, no decaying of either animate or inanimate objects. There would be no seasons if this world were of the substance of God, because it would then be of the substance of eternality. It would be changeless. God changes not. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is from everlasting to everlasting. And if this world that you see around you were made of God's substance, it would be as immortal and as eternal as God. But it is not. It is changing moment by moment, dying every minute and every day. And you know that. Look. Just look around you. Take a stroll through the hospital or through Arlington Cemetery. Just turn on the news. You can see. But now remember, from now on when you see that, you're not going to look out there and say, ah, that's just an illusion. No. You're going to have to begin to make a change. Wait a minute. Look at all these mental images being broadcast here into this human mind, which is the world mind. Ah, you up there. You're showing me dozens and dozens rapid pictures of a world that has no externalized reality. It's going to shake up your universe for a while, I guarantee you. So, the erroneous assumption in the teaching of pantheism and of much of modern metaphysics is that man is spiritual, that his physical body is spiritual, that trees and flowers are spiritual. This is true of the reality of these, but it is not true of the physical manifestation as it is appearing to us through our senses. If the world were spiritual, we could eat our food and have it too. We could drive automobiles that never wear out. We could have trees that would grow forever. Flowers that would never... well, they'd be in bloom forever. But the substance of the forms you see is not of that substance which is God. And once we perceive that, we shall understand the true meaning of the word illusion, which is that our perception of what we behold constitutes the illusion. It is not that there is an externalized illusion. There is no external illusion anywhere. It is only that what we behold is not the real substance of which it is made. What we behold is the substance of our mind, of the human mind, of the world mind, the substance of universal mind. So that's pantheism. Now, theism goes to the opposite extreme. Remember, we're talking about the middle way. Talking about the middle way here. So we don't want to go to the extreme that we say everything out there is an illusion. And we don't want to go to the extreme that we say God has manifested himself as this universe. Because neither one of those is true. The universe you're seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, and feeling is the sense pictures being broadcast to you by the one human mind, the world mind. And so, the illusion is in your mind and nowhere else. But theism goes to the opposite extreme. Theism regards God and the world as two distinct substances, each having its own independent existence as a creation of God, yet not made of the same substance as God. How impossible it would be for God, the creative principle, to create anything unlike itself, anything different in nature and character, anything other than consciousness. If consciousness is infinite, there is no other substance beyond consciousness. And the world of God's creating must therefore be consciousness formed. Ah, now we're getting somewhere. He's telling you in that last sentence or two that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwells among you, among us, dwells in our midst, and we are standing in the Word, in consciousness formed, the spiritual universe, the original creation, and it is very good. But we are totally unaware of it. Instead, we live and move and have our being in a series of mental images broadcast into the mind, which has no externalized existence whatsoever. We've never left the mind. From the cradle to the grave is an existence inside the world mind. I'm sorry, I know you don't like it, but my friends, it's the truth. So, there must be a way to awaken out of that mind, to leave all that is in that mind and follow me, your invisible self, into the Word made flesh, invisible flesh, dwelling in your midst, into an invisible kingdom, into consciousness formed. So he says the next question then is, what about the physical universe? And the answer to that is the Master's statement, my kingdom is not of this world. This world is the world of the Adamic dream. This is the world of mortal conception. This is the world of mental projection. You see, it's not an external world, my friends. You're just like the fellow that thinks he's Napoleon, only you think you're Tom, Susan, you think you're Mary or Britta, you think you're Bill or Dennis, you think you're Matt or Mark. You're not. You have another identity, something you must wake up to, something you must begin to glimpse, something you must begin to dwell in, something you must begin to feel, to sense. You have another identity standing in a finished kingdom, right here. And it's the only kingdom. Now, so Jesus, like Gautama, understood that my kingdom, which is a kingdom at hand, remember, he said it himself, is not of the world that the mind is showing you. All of the world that the mind is showing you, good and bad, has never been created. It's not of God, and it's not externalized. When we recognize this and are able to close our eyes, aha, aha, now listen. When we recognize this and are able to close our eyes and realize, which means to sense, feel, commune with, when we are able to close our eyes and realize the I in the midst of us, the body loses its sense of mortality. Even the material universe loses its mortal sense and becomes what God's world really is, harmonious and perfect. The truth is that God is spirit, consciousness, and therefore all that really exists is God itself, formed, God in manifestation, or the perfect original creation. The world that we see with or perceive with the five physical senses, however, is not that world of God's creating. No, it's the finite sense of the world which universal mind is projecting into your mind and as your mind. With our mind, we cannot discern the world of God's creating. We do not see God's kingdom. Now that's an absolute, pretty much. Now that is an absolute. With the mind, the human mind, which now we understand is the world mind, the carnal mind, you call it the world mind because why? It can only perceive, think, consider this world. That's all it can ever consider, or that's all it can ever perceive. And so it's this world mind. You might call it a this world mind, because all it can see and deal with is this world, which is a fabric of its own creation. Remember, it's not external. It's a series of mental images. Now, that mind can never see outside of that box, ever. It is forever stuck in the illusion, world without end, amen. And yet, it's not a world at all. You have had your attention, maybe your entire life, certainly for centuries, focused on that make-believe internal mental world. Here comes Christ and says, "Awake, thou that sleepest. My kingdom is at hand, and it's not of this world, but you must awaken." How? How do I awaken? You must leave all. And so, one of the first requisites is that you are willing to leave all. Step outside of all of it, not cling to part of it. But anyway, getting back to this, because I want to finish this up. We're already at 40 minutes, and I haven't really gotten underway. We do not see God's kingdom. We see only the human, limited, finite concept, or mental image. Only the physical concept of the spiritual universe. Of the spiritual universe. Because remember, you're standing in and as that spiritual universe. That is why it is changeable and changing, sometimes good and sometimes bad, because you see only the physical concept. You're living in a mental image, an internal illusion. And so it's sometimes sick, sometimes well, sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes alive, sometimes dead. But all these conditions exist only as concepts in the human mind, not out here as reality. It takes spiritual discernment to know the things of God. Ah, aha. So, let us not look at this visible world and call it spiritual. But on the other hand, let us not look at it and call it a creation separate from God. Let us rather cleave to the middle path, which leads to our inner spiritual center, where we are the Christ of God, and where we can see that we are one with the Father. Now, let's see. I think he says something else about the middle path here. It's been a long time since I read this. Okay, just a couple more paragraphs here. When the Master asked, "Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not?" He was referring to an inner vision, an inner hearing, which we call spiritual discernment or Christ consciousness. So let me make this perfectly plain. With your mind and your intellect, even understanding all of these things we've discussed today, that mind cannot awaken you out of itself. That's the human mind, the world mind, projecting these very images, the one that understands this. Strange, isn't it? And yet, that very understanding, if you follow the next steps, will lift you out of that mind. That's the wrong way to put that. That very understanding will allow you to stand still from that mind so that spiritual discernment can come to you and lift you out of that mind, lift you out of the illusion and reveal itself, reveal reality, reveal the finished kingdom. But here's how it's said here. He was referring to an inner vision, an inner hearing, which we call spiritual discernment or Christ consciousness. You see, only Christ consciousness is going to awaken you out of that mind. But it's necessary first to have the understanding that you're living in that mind. Then it's necessary to find a way, which we call meditation, to become still, to turn away from that mind, enter the silence where spiritual discernment and Christ consciousness can lift you up. Only the Christ can recognize the Christ, and when we understand this, we will never look at a human form and declare, "You are spiritual, you are young, you are well," because you'd be saying that about a mental illusion, wouldn't you? We would never do that. But if we could look through the appearance to the Christ of God, the Christ ever present, let me put that another way. Well, we'll finish the sentence. Although not apparent to our human eyesight, we would be able to break the mesmerism. But remember, he said up here, only the Christ can recognize the Christ. So, in your meditation, the goal then becomes to become silent, still, to rest out of that mind projecting these pictures, so that that mind which was in Christ Jesus, which is Christ consciousness, can reveal reality to you. Then, when you look at someone that seems to have disease, you won't be trying to make the disease better or save that poor, suffering person. You won't be hypnotized. You'll look in the mind and say, "I see you." Mental image, hypnotism, mesmerism, world mind, whatever term you like. This is internal, right there in the mind. But I'm not going to try to fix it. I'm going to drop it. Now, Father, what's really here? Only Christ can reveal Christ, so let me be still. Christ, you speak. You see? Speak, Father, thy servant heareth. You see that? Isn't that what Joel always told us he did? So, he says, we would never do that. We would never say, you're spiritual, you're young, you're healthy. But if we could look through the appearance to the Christ of God, the Christ ever-present, although not apparent to our human eyesight, we would be able to break the mesmerism that looks at the body with the mind and believes the evidence of what it sees, hears, tastes, touch, and smells. And in breaking the mesmerism, we would be able, through our inner discernment, to behold the spiritual nature even of a dying or a sinful person. So you see, you can't awaken yourself out of that. But through the practice of meditation, Christ can reveal the reality that's there. So he says, this is the difference between the infinite way and such teachings as pantheism and theism. And that is what makes it possible for healing work to be carried on in the infinite way. In our spiritual work, we are not deluding ourselves with the idea that this physicality that is wasting away with sin, disease, and death is spiritual. Nor are we trying to spiritualize and make it perfect or heal it. We are looking through the appearance with inner discernment and there beholding the invisible, spiritual child of God, which was never born and will never die, eternal, right here on earth. Miracles can be performed by the person who does not try to heal disease, and who understands he is an instrument of God. God constitutes individual being, and any appearance to the contrary is illusory, a picture in the mind, without spiritual substance, spiritual law, cause, spiritual entity or identity. It's Maya, illusion. So on the spiritual path, we do not try to change the external world. We do not try to change our friends and relatives. But we recognize the omnipresence, omnipotence, and omniscience of God within our own being make it possible impossible for sin, disease, death, lack, and limitation to exist as externalized reality. You see that? All right. So, let's see. I think there's one last thing. All this is apparent to us not through our knowledge, not because we have learned a little more of the letter of truth, but because we have developed a deeper inner spiritual awareness and are able now to perceive the Christ. All right. So that's from Apprentices in Eternity, Reality and Illusion. It's only a couple pages. But it explains this middle way. Now, here's the way that I explained it yesterday or the day before. When there is an appearance of lack, limitation, sickness, pain, it doesn't matter what it is. What am I supposed to do about it? Remember, this is called the middle way. So, there's no use denying it. It's staring right at me. You see, I don't deny, I don't walk around. Well, I don't close my eyes tightly and say over and over, it's a nothingness, it's a nothingness, it's a nothingness. Sort of like clicking my heels together, there's no place like home. I don't do that. I don't do that. Because then I'm trying to pretend, aren't I? It's not a nothingness. It's a something. And what is it? Well, we just discussed it. It's a series of mental images appearing in the mind. It's not out here. It's not external. This is in my mind. It's being presented to my consciousness. I am standing in consciousness, and this mind is showing me these mental images. So, we don't close our eyes and say it's a nothingness, it's a nothingness. The mind knows better. Something is there. Something is presenting itself to consciousness. But what? If I answer, it's a disease, that's a disease out there. I've claimed a disease, haven't I? But if I answer, oh, it's nothing. It's nothing. I'm doing like those Indians, aren't I? I'm lying to myself. And I, again, am not on the middle way. If I answer, only God is here, only God is here, only God is here, again, it's just an affirmation. And the mind will say, who are you trying to fool? Look at them. They're hurting. And so none of that is the middle way. All of these denials or affirmations are the two extremes. They are not the middle way. Well, then what do I do? When there is an appearance of lack, limitation, sickness, and pain, it doesn't matter what it is. First, I'm honest with myself. Here is an appearance, a mental image. It looks awful. But remember, I'm not to try to heal that, because then I would just have a mental image that looks beautiful. I don't want either one. So I am going to turn away from it. Just for this moment, I'm turning away from the picture which is presenting itself to my consciousness. Now, Father, what is here? Show me. Speak, Father. Reveal the truth. And then I listen. I'm silent. And I wait, and wait, and wait. When the Father speaks, when I hear inside myself, not in my mind, no, when the spiritual discernment floods me, and I hear, I am here. Not when I think that, or say it, but only when I'm so quiet, so listening, so waiting, I receive an impartation from the Christ. In other words, Christ reveals itself. I feel that presence. I hear, I receive an impression that says, I am here. Oh, then my shoulders relax. I feel this inner release. Oh, that's right. Thank you, Father. Yes, I am here. Then I am set free from the hypnotism. I may take a deep breath. And I know God has spoken. God is on the field. You see, I'm released. Now, what is the release? I went into this meditation hypnotized, focused on this mental image, this series of mental images. Somebody called and said, I'm hurting. Can you please do something? And the heart said, oh, you need to do something. You see, I'm just caught up in that drama just as if I'm watching something on the wide screen in a movie theater. I'm caught up into this mental image. I'm hypnotized. That's where we started. But we didn't deny it and say, oh, it's nothingness, nothingness, nothingness. And we didn't go to the other extreme. Only God is here, only God. We did nothing. We did nothing physical. And more than that, we did nothing mental. Except to be honest and say, oh, here's a series of mental images. Yes, there is a something here presenting itself to my consciousness. It's a series of mental images. All right. I can't do anything about that. No answer to that. Father, reveal what's really here. I'm still. I'm listening. Speak. And then there's this inflow. Oh, yes, thank you. God is. I felt it just now. God is. You see, I've been released. I'm not standing in that hypnotism anymore, am I? I am released. Ah, yes. Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you. I take a deep breath. I realize God is on the scene. I'm released. I'm free. I'm set free from the hypnotism. I'm not set free from a disease. There isn't any. I'm set free from these mental images. I have just stepped out of that world mind. Inside of my being, I am standing in the finished kingdom, and I feel it, and it's wonderful. And I know God has spoken. God is on the field. And God's voice, nothing nice is the appearance. It's His Spirit upon me that reveals its nothingness. And nothing else will. That's why we read in A Parenthesis in Eternity, in Reality and Illusion chapter, only Christ can reveal Christ. This is what is meant by spiritual discernment. You can't do it. You're standing in the hypnotism. Now how are you going to wake up? You are the hypnotism when you're standing there. You can't get yourself out of it. No. And you can't deny yourself out of it and affirm yourself out of it with the very mind that's showing you these images. No. Leave all. Leave those nets. Launch out into the deep. Come on, launch out here. I'm assuming you've practiced the presence, and you've practiced meditation, and you have the ability to contact that Christ within you. Well, then, if you do, let go. Launch out into the deep. Let God reveal the finished kingdom. Let that spiritual discernment shake you and awaken you out of your momentary hypnotism. And when its spirit is upon you, there's a release. You can actually feel it. Oh, that's right. Thank you, Father. I am here. And then I open my eyes and I forget about it. It's not my problem. God's here. That's good enough for me. And then minutes or hours or days later, the problem disappears. The appearance changes in front of my eyes. Harmony takes its place, all by itself without any help from me. Why? Because that which is realized, felt, perceived in consciousness, which in this case is I am here as an actual experience, that forms itself. That's consciousness formed. You see? The finished kingdom. And now you become aware of it. So that is the middle way. No denials, no pretending, no trying to think something that isn't really true, no affirming, no thinking positively, no wishing. None of those opposites. You just reach a place of neutrality. You stand still. You wait upon the Lord. You admit, I've been hypnotized. But now, Father, what is here? Reveal thyself. Father, you speak. Christ, reveal Christ. And when God speaks, when you feel that inner Christ, it is finished. And not until then. Only Christ can awaken you from the hypnotism. Now, one more look. This is from the 1955 Kahlua Study Series. It is tape number 113, The Secret of the Healing Principle. And that's what we've been talking about all day, because I perceive that some of you do not have a grasp of this, so I'm trying to help to clarify it. Now listen. To really be of help to anyone, stop thinking of the person and the condition, and realize they represent only a picture, an image, an appearance in the mind. That's the fabric that is presenting itself to you, the fabric of the illusion, which is this universal belief or universal dream. It's called the mortal dream. It's called mortal mind, world mind. It's called universal illusion. It's called by many names. And it makes no difference what name you use, as long as you realize it's a universal sense. Remember, there's one human mind. And in and of itself, it has no law to sustain it. No cause, no effect, no person. Now, how do you know that? Because the only law, cause, the only source, the only creator is this invisible spiritual presence that you feel in your meditation. Consciousness forms itself. That's the only power in the universe, this invisible presence, this spiritual Christ. That's the only cause and the only law. And that cause and that law is not behind this mental image. What's behind it? Nothing. But saying that's not enough. Understanding that's not enough. It's when God speaks and reveals it's nothing, because you see it dissolve, that you go, ah, it really is a nothing. Oh my goodness, this entire thing I've been fighting has nothing to hold it up, because the only creator is God, and the only creation that God is holding up is the perfect eternal one. Now, when you experience that release we talked about, that's when you know without any intellect involved, that's when you know that the mental image has nothing to sustain it. So, we are only going to bring harmony into our affairs, first of all, into our individual world, by seeing every discordant person, thing, condition as a picture in the mortal mind, a universal hypnotism, a universal belief, appearing as people, appearing as conditions, appearing as the entire world and everything you perceive in it. And so he says, from now on, never try to save a dying person. Never try to save a poor person. Never try to cure a diseased person. But always, instantly, remember, you're not dealing with the person or a condition out here. You're not dealing with a thing. You're dealing with a mental image, a hypnotic suggestion, a hypnotic picture, which has no external existence, no existence outside of the human mind. That's the first thing. I'm dealing with something. Something's presenting itself to me. Ah, that's this mental image which is hypnotizing me. I am enthralled with it. Now what? Well, he says, always instantly remember you're not dealing with a person or a condition. You're dealing with a hypnotic picture. Then you will find that you destroy the entire fabric of which all error is made. Every condition of limitation, whether it is limited finances, limited health, limited morals, limited living conditions, is the expression of a universal hypnotism, a series of universal beliefs. He's going to tell you what these beliefs are. Remember we said they're a rapid series of mental images? Well, actually, he says when you reduce them to individual experience, they are a belief of a selfhood apart from God, a belief of a cause apart from God, a belief of a law apart from God, a belief of a being apart from God, a belief of a life apart from God, a belief of a substance apart from God, a belief of a wisdom apart from God, a belief of a knowledge apart from God. This whole series of beliefs put together constitutes the fabric of the entire illusion. It constitutes a mesmeric influence, making you see limited persons, places, things, and conditions. But remember, the Adam dream is in the mind, not outside of it. Every time you're called upon for a solution to a problem, see if there isn't a person involved in it. You'll find there is, and then you'll see that since God is the only creative principle, it can't be the child of God. A person is not a child of God. But there is a child of God. How are you going to know the child of God? You aren't. You can't know it with your mind. You're going to turn from the picture, and you're going to ask God to reveal what's there. Then God, Christ within, spiritual discernment will reveal the child of God. You never do it. You simply become aware of it as it's revealed to you. That's how you awaken. So he says, the difficulty is this. We witness some untoward condition out there, some evil person, and we actually accept it as taking place out there, which we know in our heart and souls it couldn't be if God is. If this is God's creation, if there is a God at all, no such thing or person could exist. But we first see it, and then we seek to do something about it. Is that clear? We first see it, and then we seek to do something about it. And then we're hypnotized. We're enthralled. If we could see it, and remember, it's the dream material. The fabric is this mental image, imagination, illusory sense, and say, oh, okay, that's just a mental image, and then pass it by, stand still, we would break the dream. We would break the dream of limitation the minute we become dehypnotized. And so that's all there is to a practitioner, he says, is a person who in some measure is dehypnotized, is not afraid of appearances, and doesn't try to fight them. You see, out here is disease and death, and your non-practitioner looks at them and says, oh, how terrible. But your practitioner, if they've really arrived at a practitioner consciousness, looks out there and says, no. That's just hypnotism. And goes right on about their business. So you see, there's only one way to break the hypnotism, he says, and that's to withdraw from the battle. That's why there's so many scriptures that say the battle is not yours, but mine. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which means stand still until Christ reveals what's really there. All right. So this is a talk about the middle way. We don't take either extreme. We don't look out there and we don't say, oh, this is all an illusion, so why bother? Let's just eat, drink, and be merry. But we also don't look out there and say, this is God manifesting himself, and that right there is an illusion. Because that's not true either. If it was God manifesting himself, that tree couldn't have been struck by lightning. It would be eternal. No. We want the middle way. And the middle way is that we look and we say, okay, here is a series of mental beliefs. Number one on that list being the belief of a selfhood apart from God. It's the belief of a self apart from God. If you see a human being, you believe in a self apart from God. So that's what this is. This is a picture, a mental image being projected into this world mind, which has been called one human mind. And I see it. It's being presented to me, projected at me. And I'm not going to try to fix it into a good mental image. And I'm not going to fight it as a bad mental image. I'm going to recognize it's not out there. It's just a mental image. It has nothing to support it. There's no spirit in that. I know, I've felt spirit. Spirit's not in that. So now what am I going to do? I'm going to turn away. Turn ye and be saved. I'm going to turn away from that. Find my center, as Joel has said so many times. As fast as you can, find your center. All right, what am I doing here? I cannot awaken myself out of this hypnotism, being enthralled with this picture. But I know I can be still. And God can awaken me. So speak, Father, thy servant heareth. Christ, reveal Christ. I wait, I listen. Father, what is here? And I receive, I am the life. I am the truth. And this I is the only life. And this I is Christ. This I is the Word made invisible flesh. In my midst, I feel it. Be not afraid. It is I. There is no fight. I am here. I am here. Yes, I in the midst of thee have never left and will never leave. In a moment ye think not, I am here as inner awareness. Rest, rest in this I. And as long as I feel it, I will rest in it. If I feel it another minute more, I stay another minute. If I feel it 10 more minutes, I stay 10 more minutes. This is what is meant by wash your problems in the inner well of contentment. I simply rest. If the mind begins thinking statements of truth, the meditation is over. I do not choose to re-enter that mind. I have been released from it, and the I in my midst has come upon me. I feel it, and it is done. And so I open my eyes, and I don't work on that anymore. I'm done with it. I let Christ define itself and reveal itself. I let harmony appear as it will. That's none of my business. I am just a beholder. If it comes back to mind an hour or two later, I do the same thing. I don't use the same words or any words that are memorized. I use whatever flows at that time. Eventually, it will no longer return. and I will see harmony appear. This is the way that we awaken out of the dream, the illusion, which is an internal illusion. We awaken out of it by allowing the Christ to reveal the finished kingdom. We begin to discover we have never left that kingdom. We are standing in the Garden of Eden. Consciousness formed itself, and we discover we dwell in a temple not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, that we are one with the Father and have never left home. This is the middle path that leads us back to our garden home. Thank you. And now I'm going to turn this off and go have a meditation. May you do the same.